Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Michael, and happy first week of basketball season.
Always a good time. Always wonderful when the when you hear the balls bouncing on the hardwood. I love it. And you know, I wanted to get your initial reaction. You know, my first impressions from the opening press conference where we talked to all the players and coach and the GM, the head coach Michael Malone and GM. Booth was the emphasis on remaking this team for defense and versatility at the variety of positions, and also the differences those things will make on defense. And my concern, I thought Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, better known as KCP, expressing concern that they're training in San Diego, not at altitude, which with eight new players, that can be a problem.
Well, you know, it's funny. We interviewed Andre Miller, who was named the G League head coach here over the last couple of weeks. And one of the notes he talked about is he said, one of the things that's changed over the last decade is it used to be you had maybe 15, 17 people in the gym for training camp. Nowadays, you have 100. And to accommodate that, I mean, everybody, there's extra trainers, extra coaches, extra video coordinators, nutritionists, and everything else in the building now as teams have just gotten more, more involved in all the little details of getting a team prepared. But as such, you need a lot of space. And the Denver Nuggets training facility, one of the smallest in all of the NBA, just not capable of hosting all, you know, that many people. So that's why every year for the last, really the last decade or so, they've gone out of town to find a bigger facility, which is its own problem. But, you know, you made the interesting point about, you know, talking about a change in identity with the Denver Nuggets. That was evident through those press conferences on Media Day, but I think especially so as I went out to San Diego and observed this team for a week. It's the same team in the core pieces, but it's very different in how they've built around those guys in ways that I think will be very evident early on in the season.
No, and I was excited to hear the different descriptions of how the impact on defense in particular would take place. Aaron Gordon not chasing three-point shooters all over the lot, having to match up on a tough shooting guard, playing closer to the rim. What that means to me is there's more help, along with DeAndre Jordan and along with Bruce Brown, who everybody says can defend five positions despite not having nearly a center of size, a guy who some people say can play point guard on the second team, that there'll be more help from guys like Gordon in that porous rim defense that has hurt the Nuggets over the years. You've got to be good on defense, and you've got to stop the perimeter penetration, and they've got guys now who are better suited to do that. But you've also got to stop them at the rim. And to me, that was the most encouraging part.
Well, you know, the stopping at the rim part, when you're building around Nikola Jokic, you know, the key is he's a very good positional defender, but if guys are running downhill at him, he's pretty much defenseless. He's one of the worst in the NBA at protecting the rim when your defense has become compromised on the perimeter. So to me, you know, you mentioned Aaron Gordon not having to guard the perimeter, which I think is mostly true. He gets to focus on other things. But to me, you look at it and you have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's a great perimeter defender, a perimeter containment defender. You have Bruce Brown, who's one of the best in the NBA, not just at perimeter containment, but at fighting through screens, which is an area where Denver, I think, needs a lot of help. And then you have, obviously, Aaron Gordon there as well. I think this is the most perimeter containment the Nuggets roster has had in the Jokic era. And with those guys, you know, I've always said I think Jokic, Murray, some of these guys, they have more defensive skills than people realize. The problem is where they're weak, it's really obvious. They're pretty much helpless in the areas that they are weak. So if you can limit and contain those areas and prevent them from being in spots where that gets exposed, then you can be all right. And I think that's what these new guys sort of represent.
You know, great point. And, you know, Jokic is not Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's not a shot blocker. So position defense, you're right. They have to stop the penetration from the outside. And I think he will get more help from these guys. Eight new players. Of these guys, who makes the biggest impact?
I think, man, that's a really good question. It's probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope just because he'll be playing the most minutes. You know, sliding into that starting lineup. One of the things, we got to watch practice yesterday a little bit. They did an open scrimmage. And one of the things that stood out to me was that Aaron Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, not just in the game and in what we watched at the scrimmage, but also in their commentary throughout the week. Those guys seem not just accepting of their diminished roles, meaning they're not fine being the fourth and fifth best option. They almost prefer it. You know, they embrace it. And I think to have a successful team, you have to have guys that embrace their specific roles. KCP replacing Will Barton. Will Barton, a guy who had the more on-ball talents and at times maybe was too willing or too eager to be a creator. You exchange him with a guy who's more comfortable just running to the corners, spacing the court and knocking down open shots and not really contributing in too many other ways on the offensive end, and then obviously being a great defensive player. To me, when you have two guys in your starting five that – you know, don't just like, accept that, but embrace it. I think it really helps for your team to find their identity and to get the ball in the hands of your better creators and better scorers. So to me, it's probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But I think Bruce Brown, it was one of the winners of training camp this week. Michael Malone, very enamored with him. And I would not be surprised if he was a guy who found himself in closing lineups, found himself playing a lot of minutes in a six-man sort of role. I think he'll be a guy that contributes quite a bit.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. One of the things I got out of the preseason press conference, it's early, nobody's on the court really against each other in serious practices, nobody's fighting for jobs yet. The camaraderie among the players, yeah. the joking around, and of course, the all with the subtext, we're going to win a title here. I said to you, I think, on Monday morning, on this show, I have said there are three teams, I think, in the West that can win the West title. Nuggets are one of them. Who do you see winning the West? Who's got a shot at it? I include the Nuggets. Do you?
I do, and especially coming out of training camp, I think you're right. You know, you picked up on a lot of the right things there at Media Day, and they just were solidified throughout camp that this is a team that, unlike in previous years, is a veteran team. The guy, Jamal Murray, I know he's coming off of injury, but he has a lot of basketball experience, including a lot of playoff experience. Nikola Jokic, now 27 years old, entering his eighth season, he also is a veteran now. But when you have a Jeff Green that was added last year, and you add a Bruce Brown, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, DeAndre Jordan, this was just a training camp that was full of veterans. And to me, I think that's part of why Michael Malone's been in such a great mood, is these are guys that understand what training camp's about. They understand how you have to build piece by piece a championship team throughout the course of the season, and they understand the key things that are important, like defending. So to me, I'm absolutely with you. Denver, I think this is the best team of the Jokic era by far, and I think they're poised to make a run. The contenders they're looking at, obviously the defending champion, Golden State Warriors, as long as they have Steph Curry, they're going to be a contender, True. Maybe even a favorite. The Clippers are a team that go 12-13 deep. They have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George at the top of that roster, who are obviously superstars, top 15 players in this league. So I think they're right up there in terms of contenders. And then right below them, I think you've got maybe six or seven, more than ever, of these sort of fringe contenders, meaning second-tier contenders that could become contenders in Memphis and New Orleans and Dallas and Minnesota, Phoenix. You know, there's the West is deeper than ever, and one of the things we'll watch early on is which team gets out of the gate slowly and maybe takes themselves out of contention early on, because not all these teams are good. All of them have championship aspirations, but not all of them can finish in the top four, five of the standings out West.
Well, I reserve the right to change it, but I've got Phoenix as my third team. I Clipper depth is great, and if Kawhi and PG3 stay healthy, that's impressive. I don't think John Wall was ever one of my favorite players, and I don't know what he's got left. I don't know how much he brings to them, but they certainly have needed a true point guard over there. I've never cared for his game myself, but we'll see. We'll see if the Clippers...
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this. Have you been paying attention to the Phoenix Suns training camp so far this year?
No, I haven't.
Because oftentimes when a team loses the way they did, in Game 7, losing by 50 points, just blowout fashion, when they were the number one seed in all of the NBA, you know, winning, 60-something games last year, 63, 64. When you have a season like that and you get blown out by 50 points in an elimination game, oftentimes there's residual effects of that. And coming into camp, that was one of the things I wonder. How is this team? Do they still feel like they believe in themselves, or do they look like a team that is sort of starting to show frays? And DeAndre Ayton has multiple quotes. He said he hasn't talked to Monty Williams a single time in the offseason from game seven until the opening of training camp. He had zero conversations with the head coach. He was asked if he was excited to be there, and he said, I guess. You know, to me, that shows Jay Crowder didn't even show up. He's demanding a trade. He doesn't even want to show up to training camp. That, to me, shows a sign of a team that knows that their title window has passed. So I'm with you. They have the talent. But to me, they just don't have the feel of a team that believes they can win, and that goes so far in the NBA.
Very convincing, very convincing. And then, of course, all the Kevin Durant rumors as his desired location didn't help things either. So, hey, Adam, everybody, read Adam Morris and listen to his podcast over at DNVR Nuggets. Thank you, Adam. Great talking to you. Let's do it again.
Sounds good, Michael. Thanks so much.